All right, it says in your service sheet next that we're having a reading, but actually we're not having a reading. We're going to have a few readings, but they're going to happen through the talk. So keep your Bibles handy. And as Shola mentioned earlier, we've been working our way through some of the beliefs we hold. In fact, the core truths that the Bible teaches us since Christmas. And today we've reached our last one. But before we think about belief number 11, I want to show you a couple of pictures. So I'm going to ask Andre to turn off the lights. Forgive me if I'm standing in your way. Let me show you a couple of pictures. Some things look big when really they're very small. Some things look small when really they're very big. And sometimes when you look at something, it's hard to know what size it is until you put it in perspective. Like I said, since Christmas, we've been thinking about these central truths, thanks Andre, that the Bible teaches us. The beliefs that Christians have held for as long as there have been Christians. And this afternoon, we're thinking about the last one. And I think the effect of this last one is to put other things in perspective. This last truth that we're going to be looking at from the Bible shows us that some of the things that are in our lives that we tend to think of as huge really aren't. And I think it shows us that sometimes things that we think are small and not important really are. So let me start by praying that God would help us to understand his truth this morning and to put our lives in perspective. Let me pray for us. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we can be here this morning. We thank you that we have your truth to look at together, and we pray that you would help us to do that now. Guide our thoughts, guide my words, help us to understand you better, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. There is one God. In three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He made us, and he made our world. And that's evident all around us, but we can know for sure because he's revealed himself to us in his word, the Bible. God made us, and he loves us, and he's revealed himself to us. The problem is, we don't want to know him. We want what he gives us. We love life, but we don't want God. We're like kids at Christmas who love the presents, but never thank the giver of the gifts. We don't trust God. We don't really want there to be God. And we're certainly not going to love or worship God. It's an attitude in all of us. It's an attitude the Bible calls sin. And yet the incredible message of the Bible, as we've heard over the last few weeks, is that God responds to our sin with love. When we turn away from him, he doesn't turn away from us. Instead, he came to us. God the Son became man, called Jesus. Not just to show us what God is like, although he certainly did, but even more than that, he came to come and take the punishment that we deserve for our sin on the cross. And to offer us what he deserves, a place in heaven as a child of God. It is the most extraordinary thing that anybody has ever done for anybody else. And God did it for you and for me. The problem is we still don't want anything to do with God. So even when he comes and dies for our sin and offers us life, we don't trust him. We don't want to thank him. And we're certainly not going to love or worship him. In fact, the only way that any of us would ever hear of Jesus and believe and trust in him is if God gives us the gift of faith. And as we've been learning, when God gives us the gift of faith, he doesn't stop there. He goes to work in our lives, teaching us how to live, showing us how to have life. That's the good news of the Bible. And now there are millions of people all around the world enjoying that good news. And we call those people the church. That's what we've been learning since Christmas. Those are the 10 core beliefs, the beliefs we hold. But there is one more. Because we started at the beginning with Adam and Eve, but now we need to look at the end. So here's belief number 11. The Lord Jesus Christ will return in person to judge everyone, to execute God's just condemnation on those who have not repented, and to rescue the redeemed to eternal glory. The Lord Jesus Christ will return in person to judge everyone, to execute God's just condemnation on those who have not repented, and to rescue the redeemed to eternal glory. Let me highlight three things from that put our lives into perspective. Here's number one. There is hell. The Lord Jesus Christ will return in person to judge everyone, to execute God's just condemnation on those who have not repented. Last year, you may remember that horrific story that came out about a man named Kyle Clifford, who in a fit of rage and jealousy and anger murdered his ex-girlfriend and her mum and her sister. 2 weeks ago, the judge handed Clifford a triple life sentence. And before he did, the father of that family, a man called John Hunt, stood up and said this. Kyle, whatever sentence you're about to receive, whatever misery lies ahead of you for the next 60 years, after your days on earth are done, there will be no release for you. They will roll out the red carpet in hell. We want justice to be done, and it will be done. And that should be a great comfort to us, shouldn't it? Because we live in a world that is full of injustice. We live in a world where people get away with it. We live in a world where some people seem to act as if they're above the law, but there will be no getting away with it. No one is above the law, because the Lord Jesus Christ will return in person to judge everyone. In the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 20, it says this: Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. And I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. Friends, nothing that has ever been said or thought or done by any of us has gone unseen. It's all been written down, recorded by God for the day of judgment. Which is why God can tell us to forgive our enemies. And we can, because we know that he will judge. We can let go of our anger. We don't have to extract revenge ourselves, because we can be sure that one day justice will be done. It's a wonderful comfort. And it's a massive challenge, isn't it? The other day I heard about a guy whose work told him that because of a new contract they'd won, they would all have to have in-depth online security checks. So he quit his job. Because he'd rather be unemployed than have someone see everything. But God sees everything. And one day he will judge us for what he has seen. And friends, the good news is that's why Jesus came. If you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and you follow him as your Lord, then on that day when the books are read out, there will be a great long list of sins that you have been forgiven. There'll be a great long list of wrongs that Jesus paid for. When God reads out the list from those books, it will only give you more and more reason for you to love Jesus. But if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, or followed him as your Lord, if you've come to church and you've heard about Jesus and you've had opportunity to admit how you live and come back to God, the Bible's word for that is repentance. But you haven't. Well, then when God opens the books and reads out your record of wrongs, you will have to pay for every single one. You will have to pay for all the wrongs you have done, the greatest of which is turning your back on Jesus. As one commentator put it, the gates of hell are locked from the inside. There is hell. Will you turn your back on the one person who can save you from it? The Lord Jesus Christ will return in person to judge everyone, to execute God's just condemnation on those who have not repented. Friends, maybe you think that coming to church and hearing about Jesus and how you respond is just a small thing. But it's not. It's the biggest question, the most important thing in your life. There is hell. Secondly, there is judgment. Not just for unbelievers, but for believers. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul is talking about how when he goes from place to place and tells people about Jesus and they believe, that it's like he lays a foundation in their lives. But what we build on that foundation is up to us. Look at what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He says this: by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. For no one can lay a foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day, that's the day Jesus returns, judgment day, will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he'll receive his reward. If it is burnt up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. Do you see what he's saying? When you become a believer, you start a new life with Jesus as the foundation. And as we've seen over the weeks, God gives us his Holy Spirit to help us to live this new life. But, Paul says, we need to be careful how we build. We need to think about how we choose to spend our time and our youth and our health and our retirement and our money. Because what we do with those things, what we build with our lives, will be judged by God. And some things will last and be rewarded, and some things will not. There was once a man who was a believer and was very rich. And he loved Jesus, but he never really lost his love for his money. So when he died, he asked God if he could take his money with him to heaven. God eventually agreed that he could take one small suitcase, whatever he could fit into one small suitcase, and so the man packed it full of gold bars. When he got to the gates of heaven, the angel took the suitcase and opened it. Then he looked at the man, and back at the suitcase, and back at the man. Then he called one of his colleagues over to come and have a look, and they looked in the suitcase and back at the man and back of the suitcase. Is there a problem? The man says. God did say I could bring with me anything I could fit in one small suitcase. No problem, said the angel. We're just trying to work out why you brought paving stones with you to heaven. Friends, there are things that we think are so important now. Things that we think are so precious and so valuable now, but when we hold them up next to heaven, it changes our perspective. Friends, why do we spend so much time and so much energy and so much effort on things that won't last? You cannot take your grades to heaven. You cannot take your career to heaven. No one will ask you in heaven what you did with your career. No one will care. You won't care. No one will ask you where you went or what you saw or what experiences you have. You won't care what you went, where you went and what you saw and what experiences you have. Of course you won't. You'll be in heaven. Friends, there's nothing wrong with having things or getting good grades or learning an instrument or traveling the world or loving your garden or your home or your clothes or whatever else. Those things are good things that God gives to us. But never forget, they won't last. And if you think they're important now, if you think they're big and significant, then you will spend your time and your effort and your money on them, and you will have wasted your life. Because you won't spend your time and your effort and your money on the things that will last forever. And that you could enjoy forever. And what is it that lasts forever? It's our relationship with God. And it's other people's relationship with God. Friends, if we care about our relationship with God and how much we love him and try to please him and obey him, well, then heaven will be its own reward. Can you imagine spending a lifetime trying to imitate God, trying to fight sin, trying to hunger and thirst after righteousness, and then being welcomed into heaven and discovering there is no sin in heaven? And you've been made perfectly like him. It will be bliss. Can you imagine giving your whole life to encouraging other people in their faith? Reaching out to those who are lost, sharing Jesus at every opportunity, investing in kids' work and international mission, and then one day being welcomed into heaven and meeting the people that you reached out to. The people who heard about Jesus through the mission agency that you raised money for. The kids from the Sunday school class that you taught. The people that you prayed for. The neighbors that you invited to the Easter extravaganza. It will be bliss. It will be shared eternal bliss. There is judgment for all of us. And on that day, God will ask you and me, how did you build on the foundation of Jesus? Friend, what will he find? Let these truths put life in perspective now. There is hell, there is judgment, and finally, there is life. The Lord Jesus Christ will return in person to judge everyone, to execute God's just condemnation on those who have not repented, and to rescue the redeemed to eternal glory. Revelation 21 says this: Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, presented as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. We often wonder, don't we, what the next life will be like, what eternal glory will be like. And I don't think the Bible really tells us. The closest it comes is to tell us it will be like this world, but 1,000 times better. So friends, when you are struggling or suffering in this life, remember, it won't last forever. When this life is hard, and your health is hard, and your circumstances are hard, remember, they won't last forever. Don't grumble at God. Don't shake your fist at God and ask why he hasn't done anything about it. Remember, remind yourselves that he has. And remind yourselves that this life isn't your life. That is. Life isn't here on earth. It is there in the future, in the new creation, and it will last forever. There is life, and it is waiting for you just as much as you are waiting for it. And friends, when this life is good and you enjoy and you experience life now, remember that it is nothing compared to what is to come. It's just a shadow of what we will enjoy one day forever. And it will come. That day will come. Jesus will come. So let me ask you, friends, which of these truths do you need to hear today? Which of these truths do you need to remind yourself of, to put your life into perspective, to show you that some of those things that feel so huge really aren't, to remind you that some of those things that feel small and unimportant are really huge? Let me finish with some words from 2 Peter chapter 3, which says this: Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises. Some understand slowness. He is patient, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, Peter asks, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire and the elements will be melted in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. Let me pray for us as we finish. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that this life that we're living now, will not last forever. Thank you that this life we're living now is not real life. That's to come. So help us, we pray, to be ready for when it comes. And help us, we pray, to live now, remembering that it is coming, so that it might put this life in perspective, and we might live this life focusing on the important things, the things that will last, not the unimportant things that won't. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.